And now it's time for Inside Voices with Kevin Causey-Thomas, a local discussion focused on systemic racism, injustice, and hate in our country. Although we may not always agree, the aim of Inside Voices is to confront these truths together by sharing the voices of those facing these struggles and to find a path to making things better. We invite you to listen to this ongoing conversation. And now, here's Kevin.
Welcome, Black men and women, allies in the struggle, people of all races, colors, nationalities, cats, dogs, birds, everybody in the listenership. Welcome. This is another episode of Inside Voices with your host, Kevin Causey-Thomas, on 97.9 The Hill and chapelboro.com. It's an ongoing conversation dedicated to social justice, dismantling racism, talking about everything that's systemic, and at the same time, uplifting our local talent, Black entrepreneurs, community, any and everything, man. This is a platform for y'all to come on and share the, you know, our energy with the community and talk about our issues and problems and concerns before they trend, and to shine light on people, places, and things like the brother that we have with us today, a very special guest. He's a multi-talented artist, y'all, uses multiple mediums. You've seen his art and animation and puppetry on television, locally, and in your art museums, and your breakfast cereal. He's everywhere, y'all. So we are very happy to have on the show today, Tarish Pipkins, better known by his artist name, Jigetto, y'all. Tarish, welcome to the show.
Peace, world. My man, Causey. What's going on, bro?
Yeah, man.
Great to be here. An honor.
Yeah, great to finally have you here on the show, man.
And
you know, I can't even, it's one of those things where you meet good peoples and you're like, man, I don't even remember where we met. I just feel like I've always known you and we've always had like this really dope creative relationship, man. And so, you know, as I've stepped into a new role, I've began, you know, had an opportunity to work with you more and just discovered all the different, you know, layers to what you do, man. And so, how would you best describe yourself as a creative, you know, to the people out there listening that might not be familiar?
And I'm just an artist, you know, trying to change the world with my art.
Right.
Basically, you know, it was a long-winded answer, you know, when I was in my 20s, you know.
Right.
I say, well, what do you do? I say, man, I'm a graffiti artist, I rap, I, you know, right, do this and that. Now I'm just like, I'm just an artist.
Right.
That's, my medium just happens to be puppets right now because, mm-hmm, you know, that's what's taking off. So I'm just running with that.
Sure. So you use, what are some of the mediums of creativity that you use? Like, you know, because you got a whole toolbox and you kind of just any given day or emotion you can pick, right?
I mean, anything I get my hands on, bro. It's like, you know, it started out with drawing in, you know, grade school,
right,
working with markers, you know, graffiti, spray paint. Got older, started dabbling with different mediums. I do like wire sculpting, wood carving, and all these disciplines just manifest into puppetry where I can still do all things, you know, spoken word, MC. Right. A lightweight producer when I need a beat.
Right.
The flow over, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I jump in Fruity Loops or whatnot back in the day. But yeah, I just, you know, I have to do all these things just to stay sane because it's just, you know, people have to have a release, and my release just happened to be all these different things.
Absolutely.
You know, I can be painting and, you know, I'll still feel irritated. Like, I haven't written anything in a while, or I've started writing, like, I haven't touched a puppet in a while. So I have to, like, I have to stay active in all these different dimensions.
Right.
So multi-dimensional artist, if you will.
Yeah, right on. Because you get bored with one thing and your mind's like needs another level of stimulation. And then it makes you come back to the other thing.
They all like feed each other too. So
yeah,
it's like an ecosystem.
Right. Right on, man. And I'm glad that you explain it in that way, because I think a lot of people that might be outside of that creative brain or that aspect of being able to channel their creativity, they think people just like kind of doodle and make stuff up. And I try to tell people, like, there's a place that, you know, that we go, or that there's like a energy or something that kind of speaks to you and kind of tells, you know, gives you a nudge at times, you know, or there's a cloud or place we go to. And so you just kind of never know, you know, what that's going to be, you know, like exactly. One day it's art. I mean, one day it's canvas. One day it's a puppet. One day, you know, you pull up to my house and we lay a song down. Right.
Just so the Vibe House shout out.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what's beautiful. I think that's what, you know, makes you an artist, bro. So like, tell us a little bit about how you got started, you know, before the bigger things we talk about. How did you get started in art?
I mean, I was born an artist, you know what I'm saying? I remember as a little kid, you know, I would sit in my room by myself. You know, I like being by myself, man. I was never a little kid who like needed friends.
Right.
You know, so I remember this one time, you know, just a sad story. There was a ballpark and, you know, none of my friends were up or out. So I was like, I'm just go to the park by myself.
Yeah.
Because it's this huge dirt field with a cracked mud. And when you throw the little dry mud, it looks like a mushroom called like explosions. So I had set up where I was doing this little war with my little action figures all by myself, man.
Yeah.
And there was a group of teenagers, older kids. They was going to the ball court, the ball. And it was like, look, a little man down here playing all by himself, trying to clown me. I was like, I don't care. Like, I'm having a ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, friends are a plus, but I don't need.
Yeah.
I'm good with solitude and just creating and playing by myself. So that led into me drawing and, you know, I got this point. I would show my mother drawings, and she'd be like, "You drew this? Like surprise!
Kind of surprised like, that you really the level drew this of talent? Yeah. That, yeah."
So I was like, "Wow, you know, if I'm surprised, my mom's maybe I'm like a little different." Fast forward to a story in fourth grade, where we had a substitute teacher. So you know, she's a substitute. She's like, "I don't, you know, I don't want to get involved with what y'all doing. So y'all have a free day to draw."
Right.
So I remember specifically, it was like I think it was actually a condor. And I got a nature book, and it was a condor flying over a canyon. So I drew this picture out of this book, you know, during the class.
Yeah.
And the substitute teacher seen it and like offered me money to buy it off of me.
Wow.
I'm in fourth grade, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, wow. So I'm like, no, this is for my mom.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I don't even know if that was legal when I think back at it.
You know what I'm saying? Right. It's like, I can't even, you know, sell. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know.
She was trying to pay for child labor, though. I say that.
There
she was trying
to pay for it. Pay me for it. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, man, it's things like that happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the opportunities weren't there.
So you had moments throughout your childhood where you were just doing what you loved to do, what felt good, what felt natural.
And then
other people will let you know, like, this is really good. This is ahead of, like, people your age and people that, you know, wow, you did this? Like, surprised. At, you know?
Even with the puppets, you know, say, you made this? I'm like, who else would make it? You know?
So message out there, because, you know, there's parts of that of myself that I share in your story, man, right? And mm-hmm. this is for the parents and anybody out there listening. You have creative kids. Please nurture that. And please have this level of understanding, because the kids like us that use this other side of our brain, a lot of times we get told that this energy or these things that we're doing, like you did that?
Like, exactly.
You're capable of that?
Mm-hmm.
I thought less of your talent. I didn't think you were able to achieve such things. Like, you did that? Like, y'all don't understand, like, what type of message that's sending to a young mind or a young energy that is trying to cultivate their talent on the level that you were at an early age, and positive reinforcement from people that, like, you're, you know, in your nucleus structure is important. Yeah. Creatives, like, we go mental so many times because a lot of times we're just told that what we're doing is a hobby, it doesn't have value, that, you know, that there's something weird or strange about.
How you going to make money off? How you going to make a living off of it?
Yeah. And all of that energy that's put on something that makes your spirit free, and it's so beautiful that comes out naturally. And so as a kid, you've already, like, I just wanted to touch on that because I felt that so many times where it was like, is the thing that I'm doing, am I a weirdo? Is it good? Is it bad? Like, why do, like, people look at artists like they're homeless people that, like, do nothing for a living, right?
It's crazy.
And it's this early, right on out the set, just like, you were capable of, your little black self did that?
And like, so, to add on to that, it's like, you have to support it, like, financially and physically as well, because, you know, I grew up, you know, poor, and my mom didn't have any transportation. Sure. This one time, I was offered a scholarship to go to a summer art school. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't go because she didn't have the money, didn't have the resources, and it was a full scholarship. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things like that where opportunities were missed because of lack of resources.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And I think, you know, but you're one of, you know, you're a success story. And I think that when kids like yourself and myself make it to the other side, then we say, hey, I made it here, but there were some spots on that road
where it could be a lot further.
Could have been a lot further. No doubt. And we need to fill in a few potholes for the next kid that's coming up, you know? And I think that's exactly important that we touch on that. Absolutely. Yeah, and you chose art, you know, as opposed to, you know, I don't know, being an athlete or being a politician, things like that. So why art specifically? You know, because I know you're very into your messages and what's important to you, man.
It's, I mean, just the process was enough for me. Even as a kid, I was like, I'm going to be an artist. Mm-hmm. That was my path from the door.
Right.
I was distracted. You know, life happened, children, and I had to get money and didn't believe in myself up until like my young adulthood, man. You know, I'm in the hood. I'm standing in a project with a younger cousin of mine, matter of fact, he's doing like 10 years right now.
God bless.
Because he's just in the game. You know what I'm saying? So one day, he's my younger cousin too. He pulled me to the side, was like, you're too talented for this, bro. Like, why are you here?
Right.
And I just looked at, I was like, little cuz, I was like, you're right, man. This is crazy.
Right on.
And I just was like, I'm gonna just be a full-time artist, man. So I, you know, applied and I went down to the Art Institute of Pittsburgh. That's my hometown, Pittsburgh, PA.
Shouts out Pittsburgh, you know, black and yellow.
You know, yep. So it's funny, man. I'm in my artist rendering class, you know, we had like live nude models and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I'm so fast with it. I used to just do a couple sketches for my assignment, throw those down to the side. And I was walking around the class, like helping out other students.
Wow. Right.
So,
on,
you know what I mean? The teacher, he pulled me to the side. He's like, you know what? You know, we have the same like drawing style.
Right.
It's like a man in his 60s, you know what I mean? So I'm like, oh, you know, Mr. So-and-so, it's going to take me years to get real. He looked at me like, man, shut up.
Like you don't even know, right? Like,
but I'm trying to, you know, give him his respect. He was like, man, stop it. So, and I'm paying my tuition with art commissions already. I'm already winning.
Right.
I'm thinking I had the mind state that I had to go to school to get validated, to come up.
Right.
But I was already ahead of the game. Amen. So after like first, second quarter, I left. I'm like, you're not teaching me nothing. I'm not doing, they, you know, every
your
assignment.
Teachers are learning from you at
this
point.
Yeah, they kept everything that I did, that everything I would do, they would take it and put it away in a file. I never got my projects back, you know, so I couldn't put my portfolio.
This is my, look what my student created, right?
This one teacher, man, I had fell out with this one teacher. Mm-hmm. We had an assignment where you have to, when you put the pen on the paper, you can't lift the paper off of the paper. You can't lift the pen off the paper.
Right.
You have to do the whole drawing.
Mm-hmm. With the contact, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I did mine, and he came over. He picked it up. He was like, I said you're not supposed to pick the pencil. I was like, I did. And he looked at me, and he looked at the drawing I did, and he walked away and put it away and filed it away.
Yeah, because you crushed his ego in that moment.
Yeah.
You know? After that,
I was like, you know what? I'm done.
Yeah.
And then I had, you know, just before like internet went mainstream, I read this newspaper article, and it said, why would you spend $10,000 on an associate degree with art when you could just take that $10,000, throw a party every month, and network with artists and do the same thing? So I was like, you know what? That's what I'm going to do.
And been doing it, y'all.
Been doing it.
So, yo, we're going to take a break right now because, yo, I love to see it, love to hear it. And we're speaking with Terrence Pipkins, a.k.a. Jaghetto, artist from Orange County. Well, you know, Pittsburgh via Orange County, Chapel Hill. And we're glad to have him here. That's right. So y'all come right back. We'll continue our conversation right here on Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas on 97.9 The Hill. Be right back.
You're listening to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas on 97.9 The Hill. We'll be back with more after this. And now, back to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas. Once again, here's Kevin.
And welcome back to Inside Voices. It's your host, Kevin Kazi Thomas. You're listening on 97.9 The Hill. And we are continuing our conversation with Terrish Pipkins, a.k.a. Jaghetto, artist based here in Chapel Hill, Orange County, via Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And yeah, he's been here for a minute, though, putting it down.
Since 05.
Since 05.
Relocated. I ain't going nowhere.
Woo! And you know, and I think that, you know, last block we talked about... We made some powerful, you know, statements about, you know, I think in telling your story of, you know, when you're coming up in your youth and the talent that you were exhibiting early on, how the different reactions to teachers, people that support you in the community, how that can help or hinder. And, you know, but you ended up in art school and kind of realizing that, you know what, I don't need this to validate me. Mm-hmm. I can go do my own thing independently and tell my own story. And so that is super inspiring, you know, in this moment when we're talking about, you know, Black ownership and independence and equity and our creativity, right? Which has been one of our largest currencies.
That's being exploited.
Yeah. And so speak about why that ownership and independence, like why you've chosen that route. To do your art,
that's just my personality, just to figure things out on my own. You know what I'm saying? I don't need anybody to teach me anything. I far as like academia, I deliberately stayed away from college because I read an article that's, you know, talked about student loan debt, and I knew like from this article that student loan debt would double and triple about time that hit now, and that's what happened.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People are in debt, especially art. I don't believe that you can be taught art.
Right.
Because I was chopping it up with this one college professor artist, and he said he was so good, and he's such in the game that he can see someone's art and see who they studied under. He's like, I can tell you didn't go to any school that you taught yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I was on the right path with that. So any medium, I just jump on and just get my hands dirty and just figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, there's YouTube now where I can get, you know, I can start out with the basics, like, okay, this is the materials I need.
Right.
And I can look at people and see what techniques they use and just, you know, just flip it in my own style.
Bro, you just said something really deep there, and I want to unpack that because instruction on a style, right? Mm-hmm. And when you go to, you know, so much about art to me, what makes artists unique is when they have a one of a kind style that's unique to themselves. And how do we get there, right? Because so many of us start out imitating our influences or imitating the people that we like. I started out trying to make beats that sounded like DJ Premier and RZA and Pete Rock because that's who I admire.
That's natural. That's what you should do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But on that path of like the hours you're putting in on your craft, you start melding your influences, right? That there's a pinch of Al Green. There's a pinch of Aretha Franklin. There's a pinch. But the way I'ma stir it up in a slurry, exactly. You're not gonna know. It's gonna feel like that, you know, the vibe and the energy of it. But just speaking to, because I think in public instruction and art and creativity, a lot of times we're taught techniques, right?
Mm-hmm.
This worked for him, and this is what him, and you paint this using this technique. And like, how do you feel about that? Like, what's that fine line between being original and then like your influences? Because that's tough. Like, how do you balance that?
Man, I think that you're just standing on the shoulders of your ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? There's nothing new under the sun. Because even when you have a style, you have to have something to relate it to.
Absolutely.
Because even with my mechanics and my puppetry, my style is more like Calder.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't even know what type of artist to call him. He's a sculptor, but he has these mechanical moving. He does these like automaton type arts. He has like huge pieces hanging in airports all across the country. So and I didn't know of him.
Mm-hmm.
Another artist seeing my work was like, you remind me of Calder. I was like, who is that? And he gave me the book. And I was like, wow, it's like I'm looking at my own work.
Right.
And I've never seen his work before. So you, there's nothing new.
Right.
You're doing something that somebody already did. It's just a different time and a different space that you're doing it in.
Absolutely.
That's you know, that's how I see it.
I love that. I love that. You know, it's the energy that, you know, Pharrell, No One Ever Really Dies. Mm-hmm. This train of thought that I subscribe to, that there's a vibration and a frequency that things and people vibrate on, right?
Exactly.
And you and that and Calder obviously vibrating on the same frequency of, like, you know, just universal understanding and art. I don't want to get too deep on y'all. Watch out. Adjust your radios. This is art. We're getting artsy and craftsy. We're getting moon stars and quasars with the talk. But this is like how, you know, when we talk in creativity, this is where we go, you know? This is where we have to go sometimes, is off of the track, you know, and think about, you know, what type of energy is my art creating around myself. I spoke to some kids one time and I said, you know, I was at Beats and Bars conference and I said, you know, if I came into this room and I played Tear the Club Up and we all took a shot of Patron and, you know, got and continued to do that for like 30 minutes to an hour and I played Knuck If You Buck and Tear the Club Up, what's going to happen? And the kid in the back was like, we're going to be in here fighting in like 30. And I said, absolutely.
At least the mosh pit.
I said, absolutely. Now I said, now if I come in here and I play Pharrell Happy, right? Damn. And pass out everybody's favorite thing to eat or drink or whatever, and what's going to happen 10, 15 minutes? They say, man, we're going to be in here dancing around, jumping around. Like, and I said, exactly.
The vibration.
And as an artist, we get to set that temperature, at least initially, to poke you with it, like, you know, and that's so, yeah, I just love speaking to that fact that you were vibrating on the same frequency as a person that you had never met, man.
Word. And so, like, now my art now, I'm on the disruption vibration. I disrupt.
Okay.
Like, even my visual art, I was told my visual art was what was it? Intimidating.
Speak about that. You know, speak, and because I think that ties in with some of your messaging, man.
Yeah, the puppetry, my lyrics.
You've been combating racism, like, with your puppetry and art. Yeah. Speak about that.
I mean, that's who I am and what I do. I can't rest until the system of white supremacy worldwide is replaced with a system of justice.
Amen.
That's just the bottom line. Period.
Amen.
All the nuances, all the different movements and groups, I don't care about none of that, man. I'm a humanist. You're a human. You have rights to exist. You have rights to do what you want to do, long as you're not hurting anyone or anything.
Absolutely.
That's how I roll.
And speak, like, and
anything
speak about
other
that.
Than that, I don't care.
Because you pro human, man, right? And I think that's important because you're also very pro what you stand for, right? You're very pro what
square,
you
bro.
Exactly. But that doesn't make you anti, you know, to anything. Anyone else's game. So talk about how you just clarify that for me real quick. You know what I mean?
Where do I begin?
No, just, you know, your love for humanity, like, you know, just in that sense of
My background, I've been a therapeutic foster parent. You know what I'm saying? I've ran a group home with my wife for like a few years. I continued that and had foster children like come into our home and live with us.
Right.
I've worked at the Tammy Lynn Center working with children and adults with extreme, like, you know, birth defects, mm-hmm. like quadriplegic, like nonverbal. I've like carried, you know, disabled adults out of their bed and bathed them. You know, I'm just a public servant in each and every way. Like, I've worked with children. I taught children with special needs, you know, autism spectrum for 6 years.
Yeah.
That's my favorite population. I love working with kids on the spectrum. Man, they're brutally honest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're direct. And I like being around people like that.
Absolutely.
You know, passive aggressiveness is annoying as hell to me, bro.
Kids are the realest, man. They're going to let you know if they like you or they don't. And yeah,
the whole concept of safe space, I can't stand it. Like, if you can't stand on your ideas and your morals, like, I don't want you around me.
Right.
I don't want to check my words and be sensitive and walk on eggshells, worrying if I'm gonna hurt somebody's feelings with my words around me because I'm all love.
I understand.
And if I sell you something, it's out of love and it's being direct and it's to correct you or help you to grow.
Absolutely.
And I expect the same for people to me. Like, man, your breath stink.
Right.
Go brush your teeth. Don't hand me a mint, you know what I'm saying? And nah, like, right. Yeah, like, fix it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm a direct person. I'm from the hood. We had to be like that.
Right on, man.
My family's direct, you know what I'm saying? I was raised by, you know, women. Mm-hmm. Crazy, strong black women who tell you like it is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's, I mean, my sister's is about that life. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
I've, you know, I came into different circles and, you know, I come in and when I meet someone, your cup is half full respect.
Amen.
You fill up that cup or you get that respect poured out. It's on you.
Yeah.
And I give everybody the same energy they give me. So,
right.
I come with positive energy, so usually that it feeds back, and I have really good interactions with most people.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, across the board. It that's don't across, matter yeah. what dude, your I, race, I walk nationality.
Into, I walk into a event with millionaires, and mm-hmm. you don't get any more respect than that homeless man on the corner.
Right on.
Who are you?
Right on, man.
You know what I'm saying? You human. How do you treat people?
Right
like
on.
I'm not impressed with material things. Like, I don't know if this goes into the next segment, but when I was out in Hollywood, man, it's like, everybody trying to win, everybody trying to get it, name dropping. When I got back here, I was like, I realized that I'd much rather, like, teach babies with my art than be that famous puppeteer and going to parties with tuxes on. And because it's a rat race. Even the A-listers are like, what's next? How do I stay relevant? What's next? I'm like, not feeling that.
Right on. I definitely dig that part of your conversation, man, because, you know, I spent some time out there in L.A., and as much as I loved it, I came back.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I had a ball. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, right now. As much as I love it, don't get me wrong. Lakers fan and all that. But to your point, I was like, I think I would rather be here, like, eating good food and
just
fresh air and kind of
jump out there a week at a time, every quarter.
When we need to. Yeah. And, that mentality, and it's big because artists of your caliber choosing to stay home, you know what I mean? Like, because you could be in a New York or LA or in Atlanta, DC, what have you, Chicago, what have you, whatever art scene, and it's like, nah, this is home. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's important. Though. So we want to make sure that we treat you with that same respect that you'll get when you go to L.A. and New York and Atlanta and things like that. You know, I want to make sure that we know what we have here, because sometimes we confuse local with talent and ability and like where we think that you should be. Because I saw you in Whole Foods that, well, he can't be really that good. I just saw him in the grocery store. And then you open your magazine or you cut on your Amazon Prime and there you are. Yeah. Don't be shocked by that is what I'm trying to tell people.
Chappelle, man, he said the exact same thing, man. He said, you know, he's up in Ohio.
Yeah.
I got family up there, man. My cousin went to his farm show. His special.
Yeah.
So he said, baby, I seen the guy from the supermarket on TV.
Yeah.
He's like, no. He's like, you got a twist. You seen the man from TV
at the supermarket.
You know what I'm saying? And I just fell out, man. But no, I get mad love locally and abroad, man. Like, I see people be like, Jigetto. It's like, what's up? What's going on? You know?
So people are putting a face with you, which, and I feel like you have a signature look now. Your glasses, like,
it's,
people
identify. The goggles, man. The big clunky glasses and the smile.
But it's all, it's positive. It's great things, like, that people identify you and, you know, good to know. You know, good to be seen is what I'm saying, y'all, for sure. Sure. Yeah. And so, we're going to continue this conversation, continue talking about what projects matter most to you and your puppetry and techniques when we come back and continue this conversation, y'all, with Terrish Pipkins, a.k.a. Jigetto. You're listening to Inside Voices right here on 97.9 The Hill. Be right back.
You're listening to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas on 97.9 The Hill. We'll be back with more after this. And now, back to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas. Once again, here's Kevin.
And welcome back to Inside Voices. This is your host, Kevin Kazi Thomas. You're listening on 97.9 The Hill and ChapelBurrow.com. We are continuing our conversation with Terrish Pipkins, a.k.a. Jaghetto, artist from Chapel Hill, Orange County, who's doing some amazing work out here, y'all. And, you know, murals, puppetry, art, his illustration, you know, all mediums, rap, rhyme, you name it. And tying it all together with the message and activism that, you know, breeds through his work. And so I think about some of the things that I've seen, you know, you and Pierce with Pinocchio. And then I don't want to say this wrong. The lynching puppet.
Just Another Lynching.
American Horror Story. Yeah. Talk to us about, you know, because this is what we're getting into, y'all. It's art that challenges. And you said this, when we talk about art that challenges and disrupts, I think this is a good example of what we're talking about.
And it was just a synchronicity of the event. I just had my work, some of it comes, I mean, it's all inspiration through life, but sometimes I have visions. And this is one night I had a vision of a puppet hanging, lynching from a tree in a dark room with a spotlight on it.
Wow.
And I was like, that's a show. So I was actually working in a paper hand show at the time over at the Forest Theater.
Mm-hmm.
So, I stepped to Tommy Noonan. He was the director of choreography in the show.
Shout out Tommy Noonan.
You know what I'm saying? Out in Saxville Hall. Yeah. But I stepped to him. I was like, dude, I have this idea for a puppet show. I was like, but it's about a lynching. I was like, but I don't want it to be told from a black perspective. I want it to be told through his white friend's perspective.
Wow.
I want a white person to tell a story about a lynching. Because we're always telling our story, but it's not our history, it's your history. Mm-hmm. You know, so we just have to be victims of it.
Right.
And of course, being the dope person he was down. He was like, I'm down. This is what I need to do.
And he's probably saying that with sweat. He's probably sweating when you was describing it to him.
Yeah.
But it's,
no, he was like, word. Yeah. Like, nodding, like, yeah, I'm with that. There was no hesitation.
Right on. Because
you know, he's an activist. That's what he does.
Right on.
You know what I'm saying? So then the amazing Shauna Tucker out of Raleigh. She was in the band, so I stepped to Sean. I was like, I get this idea of a puppet show. I was like, but it's about a lynching.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, my shoulders is up, you know, and she was like, you know what? I'm going to tell you this and you're going to walk away. She said, just last night, someone sent her a video of her on YouTube singing the song Strange Fruit.
Wow.
So that synchronicity clicked. She was like, I'll do it and I'll walk away because I'm tripping out right now.
Yeah.
So I was like, yes. So. You know, I was just, you know, they, well, how you want to do this? I said, you have full creative freedom.
Right.
Just send me what you got and I'll use it. I'm not trying to have any influence. There's no yay and nay from me.
Right.
So they sent me the recordings. I built the puppets, edited everything together to turn it into a like half hour show, pulled in the puppeteers. Boom, it was on. But the research was real deep for me because, I set it on the year 1921 to honor the Tulsa, Oklahoma massacre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I actually referenced it in the show where the victim of racial terrorism,
right.
He had a cousin out of Tulsa, and they brought it up during the narration of the show or during the storytelling.
Right.
And when I was researching it, what I did, I just picked a random state. I was like, I'm just going to use South Carolina. So I went on the Googles, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I Googled the town with the most lynchings in the year 1921. It was Greenwood, South Carolina, which is the same name as the neighborhood in Tulsa.
Right.
So it was 13 lynchings that year. This is a rural town, you know what I'm saying? 13 in a year. So I was like, boom, you know, head explosion. So then that was the same time when that big eclipse happened, the Nat on Nat Turner's anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was a lot of wild energy going on around that time.
Crazy energy.
Yeah.
So the thing is, the last full alignment across the U.S. stopped in Greenwood, South Carolina. Bruh.
That's wild.
So I was like, I have to do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
When you talk about the stars aligning, when you're talking about the universe sending you messages, whatever your higher power is aligning and your things aligning to say this is I need you to tell this story. And when we talk about energy, no one ever really dying and energy staying, it's probably your ancestors saying, I need you to tell our story, right? It's never been told, right? All of these stories that we're unearthing in this big cultural awakening, you know, globally to the plight and the struggles of Black people, not only in our country, but all the stories that have never been told, all the graves that have never even been marked.
No doubt. And the thousands, lives. Millions. Mm-hmm. And the when I was building the puppets, man, the couple, I wanted to make sure I just established love, a loving relationship between Black man and Black woman.
Right
on. To counter all the negative imagery in our media, even like from hundred years ago in newspapers up to the digital media now, we're demonized. So when I started building the puppets, when I finished the heads, I put the married couple together. And when I built the hands, they embraced immediately. I built those two together, literally.
Intentionally.
And I wanted to have some type of bond between those two material, those inanimate things. And I, man, it was deep. I had all the research, man. It was traumatizing, man.
Right on.
Because I've been researching this since like 14 years old, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I know my history.
Right on.
And, you know what I'm saying?
And I'm glad that, you know, like we're talking about why art and being able to convey your message in a way that challenges someone at the same time that they can admire how beautiful and the skill and the energy and the talent that went into it. But there's a further message involved, that there's something that's speaking that is beyond yourself, right? That's like your vessel for it.
Came through me.
But man.
Like I was burning sage one time, man, and my grandmother, she had passed when I was like my early 20s. I was actually holding her hand in the hospice when she left. Her death was a beautiful experience, but you know, I still miss her to this day. So I'm in my workshop by myself, and then, you know, I pulled all the puppets out, and I'm, you know, getting everything together to go to work. And this strong energy came over me to the point, man, I dropped to my knees.
It'd be like that.
And I said, I'm sorry and thank you. I just said it out loud. I just felt I had to say that. And if this weight lifted up off me and I stood up, and I was like, that was my grandmother.
Yep. Just came to pay you a visit.
Yeah, real quick, knock me down and lift me up like she always did.
You know what, man? That's beautiful. And, you know, I just really appreciate you sharing that, because I remember, you know, my father has been gone 5 years now, RIP. And my favorite cartoon, so my dad was in the Army, 22 years. I was born on Fort Belvoir in Virginia. My sister was born on base in Germany in Würzburg. So like we're military brats.
Military brat.
Yeah, you know, it's what's cool and what's not so cool, you know, because you brought up around this diversity, but you're also moving all the time, right? And so, but I remember the week that my father passed, and, you know, you kind of be lost in the world looking for, you know, I don't know, signs or something. And my favorite comic strip or cartoon coming up was Beetle Bailey.
Yep, I'm down.
That was my jam.
Because of the military cat.
Yeah, and just the style of it.
Yeah.
It kind of was just, I just dug that style of drawing at that time, you know, with that Beetle Bailey style, kind of the Archie comic style too, you know.
How comic strips, man.
Right, yeah. That's how
everybody was. Back, bro.
Right on. That was my jam, was Beetle Bailey. And so, because you used to kind of remind me of my dad and my Aunt Deborah as well, because she was military as well. And so I used to always see those. And so the week that my father passed, I got back up here, and I just remember I was feeling like crap that day, and I was walking into a Circle K, and this guy stopped me, and he was like, hey, man, are you interested in, you know, getting your windows or da-da-da-da-da clean or something like that? And I was like, nah, man, I don't got time. Well, he was like, well, here, man, I wrote my, you know, my information down on this piece of whatever. He was just handing me something. And I was just like, you know, I tried to be nice. So I was like, all right. And I just took it and I didn't really look at it. And I went in and I came, went to the store and I came back out and I unfolded it. And it was a Beetle Bailey comic strip. He had wrote his number on the back of a Beetle, a torn out page of a Beetle Bailey book.
That was your pops, bro.
And I was like, and I felt that cool come on me, right? Whatever the little thing that was going on in my mind kind of went away. And I was like, yo, my dad, just came and just pat me on my shoulder real quick. Just, you good. You're going to be all right.
That's dope.
And it's cool like that. You know, some people believe in these things, some people don't. But, I'll just say this. I tap in. I try to stay in tune with the universe and just that universal energy of the frequency, the positivity, and the love that I want to be on. Yep. And you'd be surprised what type of magic will happen in your life when you move like that. When you're looking for, when you're putting it out there, how it'll pop up and show up in your life as guidance.
I find a positive in every situation.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Right. And it's literally like a guiding light. No soap opera. Pause. Like, it's like, you know, that it'll kind of direct you when you don't know, when there is a fork in the road. Mm-hmm. And the feather comes down and lands on the right side. And you're like, well, I guess I'll go right. Exactly. It's a real thing. That's a real thing, man. I can dig it, man. Right on. So, so puppetry, man, you know, I'll just say this, because that, I think most people know you for that part of it. And we just talked about, you know, your lynching puppet show that you did. Mm-hmm. But when the first time I saw one of your murals, man, or like some of your work on a wall, like I think it was one of the things you did in a museum for some kids. Oh,
that was the August Wilson,
yes,
Museum in Pittsburgh.
Talk about that for everybody, man.
Man, I'm cool with the director, man. We've always got down since way back when, because I was doing spoken word and live performance painting back then, mm-hmm, back when I was in Pittsburgh. Because, the Love Jones thing happened and everybody was doing poetry.
Right.
I was just spitting my rhymes a cappella. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I just happened to be the man. As you know, so I just dropped the beat.
Right on.
It just slowed it down and emphasized special words.
Right.
Voila, I'm
and
a spoken word
like
artist.
Catching them snaps off that, right.
Yeah, then my homie found out that I paint.
Right.
He was like, man, you think you could do that live on stage? And I was like, why not?
Right.
You know, so he got a canvas, and he started this artist collective called Bridge Spotters.
Okay.
Because, you know, all the bridges in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is the second city with the most bridges in the world besides Venice, Italy, because we have three rivers.
Right on.
To come to a point downtown, you have to, you know, cross a bridge to get downtown.
So I've been to Pittsburgh once.
Okay.
I was super impressed. Like, I don't, whatever highway we came in, it was like, we came in and it was like, seemed like there was water and bridges, and it was like,
you came from the airport through the tunnel.
And I was like, this is Pittsburgh, yo?
Yeah, there was a famous poet who wrote about that.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
Before
it made
Pitt
me
tunnels.
Literally say wow when I came out, man.
I love coming, like when I drive home, I get the kids, you ready? They go,
it's like, we're here.
Boom.
Right? So being like a kid that spent most of my life between Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and then Southern North Carolina, that thing for me is Richmond. When I'm coming through 95 and I see that big clock, the clock right there when you come through Richmond, I'm like, oh, we're NBA now. So I just had to throw that out there, because I love that there's these little landmarkers we put in our mind. And so when I first came into Pittsburgh, it was like, boom. And whenever I come through Richmond, I see the clock. I'm like, I'm in VA. We're on our way, you know.
Yeah.
But super impressed with Pittsburgh. And so, yeah, I saw that. And then recently you did some illustration for Jay Rowdy on his new kids show, right?
I dove into some stop animation, man.
Yeah.
It's funny, I met this one puppeteer who was actually on the autism spectrum,
mm-hmm,
and at an international puppet festival in Minneapolis a couple years ago. So he follows me on Instagram. You know, we DM back and forth, because I have a lot of younger puppeteers, especially like young kids who, if they want to aspire to be puppeteers, I reach out, like, you contact me and I'll point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I did a Zoom call of a virtual puppet residency. And as a young man out of Charlotte, and he said he wants to be a puppeteer working on Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to a Muppeteer that I know that I worked with, who, matter of fact, her name is Stacy. She's the puppeteer of the first puppet on Sesame Street with autism.
Oh, wow.
So I reached out to her. I was like, yo, I met this young cat. He wants to be a puppeteer. Can I just connect you on Instagram so he can at least meet you? So that's what I do, man. You know, so I inspire people and just reach out and do what I can to help people get where they need to be.
Yeah. That's beautiful, man. Yeah, and so that's on PBS, you know, yeah. What you did that for.
So that's happened. So I dove into the stop animation, did that for it. That was my first stop animation piece.
Nice. So it's another funny medium to the collection.
The one guy I met in Minneapolis, he told me like last year, he said, you should do stop animation. I was like, oh, man, I don't have time for that.
Right.
So I ended up doing a stop animation. And he messaged me, he was like, interesting. You did stop animation. He didn't forget the conversation.
Uh-huh.
Right. Like busted. And I was like, you got me, bro. I was like, but I was using just like two-dimensional, where it's like cardboard and construction paper.
Gotcha.
And I lay it down on the table and do it that way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that, I have that. And I actually work with another show, work with Black Space. I did a segment with the Queen, Miss Nela Freeland, as well, a jazz piece.
Yes.
Where I have a hand puppet and interacting with her in a piece. I have another puppet that I did my own segment. I just shot the last videos yesterday to send to them to edit. It's a Selby, social emotional learning bot.
Nice.
Where it teaches, you know, education, emotions through children, you know, especially on the spectrum who need it. But like now with COVID, all of our children have special needs right now.
Right on, man.
You know what I'm saying? Some more than others, but
absolutely.
You know, everybody's struggling. This is different. Teachers are going through it. Students are going through it. Parents. It's a crazy thing. The PBS thing is definitely happening. I came in the back door and now I'm getting pulled into different parts.
The momentum, the current of your energy, man. Like once the momentum and word of mouth, like, you know, once somebody else sees and who did that? Yeah, well, who? Exactly. Oh, God, like there's nothing like that.
And hopefully it'll get picked up nationally. You know what I'm saying? I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah.
PBSNC.
Well, we're going to talk. Yeah, exactly. And we're going to, because look, we've already highlighted the August Wilson piece that you've done. You've worked with Grammy Award winning Nela Freeland on something. You've got illustrations on PBS North Carolina here. There's bigger, and there's always something going on, right? And
always.
So we're going to take a break right now with talking to Terrence Pipkins about his art and work as Jaghetto, and we'll come back and talk about what you got coming up, because I want to talk about all the beautiful things coming up in 2021 and beyond for you. So we'll be right back talking with Jaghetto right here on Inside Voices on 97.9 The Hill. Be right back.
You're listening to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas on 97.9 The Hill. We'll be back with more after this. And now, back to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas. Once again, here's Kevin.
And we're back on Inside Voices. Your host, Kevin Kazi Thomas. You're listening on 97.9 The Hill, chapelbroad.com. And we're continuing our conversation with artist, activist, creative, Terrence Pipkins, a.k.a. Jaghetto, about his work, how he got started, his art, creativity, his messaging, some of the incredible projects he's done. In the past, where he is in the present, and now we want to talk about where we're headed, where we're going, right? Tell us a little bit about what you have in store, what's in the bag, without leaking out too much. I know how we...
I'm going to just put out what's happening.
Okay, right.
I'll hint towards stuff that I'm working on, but definite.
Yeah.
My Spinocchio show.
Yes.
I got a grant from Heather Henson's Handmade Puppet Dreams film company.
Wow.
And I'm turning that into a short film.
So, and explain for those people that don't know who Heather Henson is and how
Heather
that
Henson is the youngest daughter of the legendary Jim Henson. She's very heavy into puppetry and activism. Met her in Santa Barbara, California, a few, 3 years ago now. Now she goes to all the major festivals. We hung out a few times, man. We were pretty cool. And, you know, I told her about, you know, the matter of fact, I got two grants for that show from her oldest sister.
Wow.
Cheryl Henson, who is the director of the Henson Foundation. So matter of fact, I was invited to do a puppet building workshop at the Brooklyn Academy of Music in Brooklyn. And Cheryl Henson pulled up and took my 3-hour workshop and built one of my prototypes, man.
Wow.
Like, I'm trying to outdo that, but I can't, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's big, bro.
Bruh. That's what happened. I'm like, everything else is just icing on the cake. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. As far as my career, man, in my eyes, I'm successful, man.
Yeah.
Like, so everything else will come. I'm doing what I love. I have the respect of the puppetry community.
Yeah.
And so, Spinocchio is happening. That's going to be aired on, what is going to be posted on there. They're using Amazon Prime.
Okay.
So all of their short puppet films are put on Amazon Prime now. As soon as I get it done, it's going to be posted there.
Okay. So that's Spinocchio coming soon to Amazon Prime.
Yes.
Amen. From Jim Henson's Puppetry Foundation, carried on by his daughters, and they selected you and they put investing in you and making this project come to life.
No doubt. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear.
Amazing. She's been getting me gigs and people call me, you know, Cheryl, mentioned you in the meeting. I just want to reach out and meet you. So, like, Henson family is dope, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they don't know who they are.
Right on.
You know what I'm saying? Because matter of fact, when Cheryl took the workshop and I did a festival in Santa Barbara and Heather Henson was there, I met them like a month apart, like almost to the day.
Yeah.
And when I seen Heather Henson, I'm like, oh, wow, that's her.
Right.
And she seen me and like walked straight to me. Hey, what's up? You know, my sister told me about you.
Yeah.
This and that. I was actually in a puppet slam there.
Yeah.
With the movie, I'm going to rewind way back. The movie that got me started in the puppetry was the movie Being John Malkovich.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm out there with LA puppeteers and I met the puppeteer that was in the movie Being John Malkovich.
Mm.
And we hung out that whole weekend. So it's a real small puppetry circle, man.
Got you. Everybody knows if you're really doing it, you know the other people doing it.
So I'm going to national festivals now and I'm like, wanting to meet puppeteers. I'm like, oh, there it is. And like, we walk up to each other like, hey,
there
what's
you
up?
Are, right.
Together. I'm like, Hunter, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like this mutual respect thing where
right.
I totally underestimated my craft until I broke into the circle of the elite puppeteers and found out like I'm sitting at the table with them.
Yes, sir.
So that's a blessing to find that out. And that like motivated me to even push further.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And be the next dude in puppetry.
Yes, sir.
Which I'm coming with a different angle.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's driving them crazy because when I was mastering my craft, like I said, I taught myself. So I purposely stayed out of the loop until I was comfortable with my craft.
Yeah.
And when I hit them, it's totally a unique, different style that they've never seen.
Yeah.
And it just fits. It complements everybody else's style.
Yeah. And it's your niche. It's what you bring. And I'm here for that, bro. Because I think that as you continue to evolve, your style will become more and more unique. And then the kids start imitating you, right? That you start seeing your style show up in other people's.
I'm even doing workshops now where people are posting videos of puppets that they
move
built
like yours
after I show them techniques, you know what I'm saying? Then if you don't bring up the whole family thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, Talk about it.
You know, I was, you know, things were starting to happen and blow up. And to the point where, you know, I stepped to my wife like, look, I need
real.
Your help.
Yeah, it's getting, my cup runneth
like,
over.
Yeah, like,
the problems that happen when it starts working.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, she stepped in, started managing and handling all the emails and contracts. You know, that's what she do.
Right on.
I mean, she's a visual artist as well. She does photography, makeup. She was a professional artist professional model when
right
we
on.
Met.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So she right does, that's what she does, makeup. And she actually made her own wedding gown. So she does, you know, sewing, fabric art.
So y'all in that, y'all just two creative individuals.
Yeah. I mean, even when he's coming up, our teenager, he's 18 now, Divine Pipkins.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal actor, man. He's done productions over at Playmakers at UNC.
Nice.
He's in a physical training now. He's been doing it for 4 years now. He's stepping out and wants to be a personal trainer.
Okay.
So he's getting work.
Shouts out Divine Pipkins. Shouts out Divine Pipkins. Yeah.
Check him out on Instagram, you know what I'm saying?
Right on.
And then, you know, my 12-year-old son, Taryn, he's a master puppeteer at the age 12.
Yeah.
Like, he actually took him to Chicago with me to do the lynching show up there. He's with my adult puppeteers.
Right.
He's in the shows. And he also performed with me in Detroit, the Detroit Institute of Art. So that's my right hand man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So you got the next generation coming up.
Yep. And then my baby girl, she's 7. I say we're the Incredibles, you know what I'm saying? So she's at age now.
She's Jack,
like,
Jack.
She's Jack Jack. It's like, okay, what's she gonna do? And she does it all like Jack
really?
Jack. Yeah, she draws, man. She sculpts. You know, she sings. She makes beats on an iPad.
Yeah.
Like she brought in this one song. And I was like, nah, you.
I'm not. You did that?
You did this?
Hey, you know honest. I guess we've come full circle. It's honest. Like, it blows you away. Wow.
Right. So, you know, I posted it, sent it to everybody. It was like, my sister's like, yo, like, no, like, for real, that jam is hard.
Yeah. Like, nah, for real.
Like, for real.
Right.
And there was no influence from anybody. She sat in her room by herself with headphones on and, like, produced it, put the, like, the reverb on the voice and,
yeah,
like, figure it out, GarageBand all by herself, man.
They get it from their parents, that's, man, yeah. Or they see you, I mean, and it's
even
imitation.
Back to my son, our 18-year-old, like, when me and my wife, you know, first met, we first had him, he was like, I had this one show, we couldn't find a babysitter. I had him in a carrier on stage doing live painting with him with me.
Amazing.
You know, so he grew up not knowing anything but art.
It's a beautiful thing, man. Like, you know, you put it around your kids, right? And then you don't want to be like a stage dad or a stage mom. And you just kind of say, like, you know, here's some... if you want to pick it up, if you don't, you don't. And then to see what kids pick up what part of it and what element or what angle, because right now my son, I'm like, you know, and he's just like, I don't know, dad, you know, I think I might want to learn how to make beats or be a DJ, but I ain't trying to be in the front doing all of that. Like, that's just kind of his angle. And I'm like,
and I don't
that.
Push anything either. I just let them do what they do.
Right.
Because, you know, my son, he's like, I'm not with the puppet thing.
Right.
But he's that's a phenomenal actor. And, you know, he right. now
that's how it
COVID
came out
hit.
Of him.
Now he plays acoustic guitar.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He was doing this one riff because he's like, dad, I want a guitar, the synchronicity thing.
Yeah.
I was like, cool, you know, whatever. I go in the PTA thrift shop. There's a acoustic guitar sitting right behind the desk, you know, behind a glass counter.
Yeah,
I'm like,
right.
yo, like, what
I'm
is that?
Yeah, right.
I was like, go ahead, give me that. So I walked in the house, was like, boom. He was like, whoa. I was like,
you said
you wanted a guitar. Here
it
it's
is.
The universe answering you.
Right.
But now, you know, he has that ear. You know, I put him on, you know, Bilal, D'Angelo.
Yeah,
you know, he put me on Anderson .Paak,
okay.
which is the next greatness.
Big facts.
You know what I'm saying? So he's a... You know, we just like, dad, you hear this? So, I put him on all the old school, the Wu-Tang and the Busta Rhymes. And, you know what I'm saying? You need this is what you need to hear if you really into the music.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
So absolutely.
Now he's doing his own thing, acoustic. He sings. He does musicals.
So it's in your family,
man.
It's, you know, your wife, your kids, everybody has their own way of, you know, whatever that expression of art and creativity. It's unique to each person's personality.
Exactly. He's just trying to, like, fine-tune and turn it to a family business. Now it's Jigetto's Entertainment LLC. And there's this, even a commercial where I make merch now. I make handmade toys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I have a commercial, you know, my Divine's cutting the wood and then Terry, my 12-year-old, he's drilling the holes for the pieces. My daughter, she paints them with a wood stain and I assemble them.
Nice.
And then my wife packs them up, you know what I'm saying, takes the orders and ships them out.
Amen.
It's just, you know what I mean? It's a conveyor belt, just in-house entrepreneurship.
You know, this... since the beginning of this convo, your journey it sticks out, man. You know, and this that something that chose you, and then you chose it back. You know that from a young, you know, from the first times you've been drawing and doing this art and things, and the things that people saw in you, and you followed your passion, and that would lead you to something that could, like, nourish and provide for your family and allow you to be free. Because when we talk about what is being free in 2021, independence of your choices and decisions with around you and your family and your financial, that you can make decisions not based on anyone cutting any rope or tie to your food supply or anything like
exactly.
that. And you can speak your mind and still, as a Black man, feel how you want to feel.
Exactly.
That's gold in 2021,
I'm
man.
I'm blessed, bro.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have any other way.
Amen. Amen, brother. So, yo, come, you know, we talked about the show coming up. We're going to look forward to that, and we'll bring you back on. I'll make sure I'll big that back up whenever that comes back out, for sure. And anyone that wants to see any of your work, get in touch with you, let us know where to see your stuff, how to find you.
Jaghetto.com.
Yeah.
And I live on Instagram.
Right on. And what's your IG handle?
IG is at Jaghetto_puppets.
Okay.
But, you know, everything can be found through the website as well, because I have a link to my Instagram on Jaghetto.com.
Jaghetto.com. Yeah. Jaghetto.com. Hey, we did that commercial Vibe House, by the way. You know, just shout out real quick. had to hold it down for the homie. And, yeah, there's some other bigger things in Chapel Hill that we're working on, too, that when we're ready to announce those, like we said, you'll be hearing from this man again, absolutely, for sure. So, Jaghetto, yo, thanks for coming on the show today.
Pleasure, man. Thank you so much for having me, bro.
Absolutely. And we'll look forward to all your work coming up. If y'all enjoyed the show, y'all, we can check in every Sunday right here on 97.9 The Hill and chapelboro.com. And, yeah, if you have any questions or concerns, you can shoot me an email or hit me up on IG. We would love to get you on the show. But that's going to wrap it up for another week of Inside Voices, y'all. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back next week with more of everything that we do and talk about right here.
Peace and puppets.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a great night. Later.
You've been listening to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas on 97.9 The Hill. Catch this episode and more by visiting our on-demand page at chapelboro.com. What you mean you don't know?